Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we're already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 667, Hudson Hawk 2, Red Notice.
I'd rather watch Hudson Hawk.
So, this movie is like it fell through a wormhole in time from 1995.
That's a great call.
Hot take? I was kind of okay with it.
God bless
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, but is that necessarily a bad thing to just have a throwback?
Yeah,
buddy,
like sure, if it was good.
Heist movie type.
If it was entertaining at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of here for it. Hotter take?
Yeah.
I enjoyed this more than Jungle Cruise.
This is better than Jungle Cruise, 199%.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not going to argue that point. Jungle Cruise, I was not a fan.
I don't have any ill will or bad feelings for Jungle Cruise.
No, I didn't hate Jungle Cruise. Yeah. It was just like I feel like the tongue in cheek attitude that this film had is what Jungle Cruise.
Because the Rock's
charismatic in this movie.
Is he?
In Jungle Cruise, yeah. He does that tough guy, I can't crack a smile.
So right.
And that was what threw me off the whole time. Is I'm like, this just doesn't work.
Yeah. But I don't get all the bad reviews for this movie because I'm like, well, what'd you think it was going
to
be?
Sometimes I think it's okay to just have some content.
Yeah.
You know, like the thing is, you're not paying for this. I mean, you know, everyone's got Netflix.
I'm paying for it.
It's
issued to you if you live in the suburbs.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, you've got Netflix and you aren't paying $15 a ticket plus $15 per person concessions. It's like, you know what? If you just want to throw something on, have some action, have some laughs.
Yeah. Hey, when I was a kid, made for TV movies were things like Whatever Happened to Rosemary's Baby.
Right, exactly. Now this is the biggest budget Netflix
movie. So you
movie.
Kids today can shut your effing pie
holes. You don't even know how good you got it.
Yeah.
It is hilarious when you think about the difference in the TV movie to a straight to streaming movie and the budgets. It's like,
yeah.
Holy
the
crap.
One that we had
I
to
still like, can't figure out the business model.
We had to dig through on YouTube to find so we could do an episode on it.
They were trying to talk about didn't fall through a wormhole. It was shoved down a wormhole.
Right.
No one should
Does this
ever
thing have tracking on it? Because holy
yeah. So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast. You can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode and maybe leave us a review if you would be so kind. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week: Brent Smith, David Rojas, Gabriel Lugo, Ralph Tribble, Heather Sachs, Tammy Sherman Powers, Geek to Me Radio, Binge Movies, Ronnie Castle, Matt Neglia, Spoiler Piece Theater, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, In Session Film, Colby Mack, Mike and Oscar, Chris Williams, Invasion of the Remake, and Feelin' Film. So thank you very much for sharing an episode. And you can also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out, and we like you extra.
I might have an idea.
Uh-oh.
For another Patreon series.
Oh, boy.
We'll see.
All Christmas movies?
No.
Christmas horror movies?
No, I mean, I could, I could do that one
like,
for sure.
Now you have my attention.
It's going to be Jingle Joe's Bells.
Yeah. I mean, hey, no kink shaming.
No, I didn't say that. That's why I want to name it that. I wasn't against it.
Yeah, I will shame you for that.
Thank you. Okay, okay. Yes. That's fair.
So anyway, Red Notice.
Man.
So here's where I was like, I'm on board with this movie.
Yeah.
Right. I went from, I was like, it did a thing. And I was like,
cause they said, where's the MacGuffin?
Well, no, it was way before that. Although I did like that.
I was going to say,
yeah, that was in the Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones 4 warehouse. Right,
right, right, right.
So,
that's why I said to Katie, I go, that's the Indiana Jones warehouse. Are they going to find a Shia LaBeouf's going to pop out of a crate?
So, like, I thought the opening scene was solid, not the exposition scene about the eggs, but who cares?
I like how they did that. They did the exposition as, like, one of those History Channel, like, Unsolved Mysteries type.
Yeah.
I actually really like how they framed that. I'm like, that's clever.
That was fine. Yeah. I agree, like that.
A real show. Cleopatra's Eggs.
Yeah, the voice guy sounded like the guy. Yeah. But I like the chase through the
museum.
The museum and all the thing on the scaffolding. There was some good camera work there.
Was
the way it was.
Scene, yeah.
But, like, the Rock gets out, he jumps in a car to chase after Ryan Reynolds, and they start playing Sabotage by the Beastie Boys, and I was like, oh, F this. because I'm just like, that song's too on the nose, it's been overused. I'm like,
pfft. Right.
And then he immediately gets sideswiped by another car, and the song stops, and it's like,
and there's no
chase scene.
Right.
And I was
I did really like that.
I was just like, oh, we're doing that? Okay. I could be down.
I was cool with that.
I could be okay with
because
this.
Because we've seen it all.
Yeah.
You have to subvert expectations at some point, because we as audiences, and especially film critics when you see so many movies, but the audiences have seen it all. It's like with superhero movies. You got to do something different or else it's going to be another beam of light in the sky.
Yeah.
And this movie continually does that, where they do kind of pull the rug out from under the characters, keeps you guessing. You get that little smirk like, oh, that was clever. You know, it wasn't what I expected. And I do think there are moments like that that set it apart from just your schlock of a action.
Yeah. I will say their big twist at the end I saw coming, like it was on a highway in Kansas.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Well, and I think the only reason you didn't see it is just because you didn't think the movie was even trying to do something
like that.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes movies sneak it by you because you're just like, no one put that much thought into this movie.
No, me and Katie were just vegging out watching it, and we were both like, oh, like, I was not looking for a twist in this movie.
I just figured that there was no way that this wasn't moving towards a team up, and that it was
I knew it was leaning, of course, because I'm like, well, they're all going to have to work together at the end, of course, but I did not see it coming like that.
So, when did The Rock get divorced? And that's, I'm asking this seriously.
Has
he ever kissed a woman in a film?
He just did in Jungle Cruise and had 0% charisma. That was the first.
Did he kiss Emily Blunt?
Yeah. And we were like, wow, that was like watching two rocks just roll down the hill together.
It catches me off guard. I've completely forgot that it happened in Jungle Cruise. And when it happens in this movie, I was like, huh, I don't think that's ever happened before.
Forgot about the movie earlier this year.
Where we had the same conversation. But like, it was so weird to see him do that, because
for 20 years he didn't.
He was in movies with the gal from Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
He's had like very attractive female co-stars, and it's never.
Denzel Washington took heat for this for a while because
isn't like he was the actor that wouldn't kiss a white woman.
He would get all these. I mean, he's an A-list actor. Yeah. He could open a movie. He was in all these big, huge movies. They would pair him up against white women but they would never kiss, or they would have some sort of reason why they weren't romantic. When in any other movie like that, they would have it would have been a romantic interest. And so, and I think it was is it Pelican Brief? Him and Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Julia Roberts who was like, I will only do this movie if you kiss me. She's just like, we're not. And I I think that's what happened. And because she was like, we're not doing that.
Interesting.
I don't know if some of that is a vestige of that.
Well, I was just thinking, like, maybe his wife was
well,
like,
well, I definitely don't think that's
no.
a thing in 2021.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think I don't think that's a thing anymore.
No, that definitely isn't.
But I didn't know, but you know, he's been making movies since the 90s.
Yeah, but
so
I'm wondering if, like, at one point his wife, who is a producer on, she's a producer on everything he does.
Right.
His ex-wife, I guess.
Yeah.
Is she still a producer?
Yeah,
she's his manager.
Yeah,
I didn't know like if that stopped. That.
No, I know she's still his manager.
Still his manager. Yeah. So Danny Garcia is her name. Like, I just wonder if there was a point where she was like, absolutely not. Like, you will not kiss a woman.
Because she made him a star. She's the one responsible.
What do you mean by that?
Well, she is the one that
helped
navigated
navigate
all the acting.
Okay.
She brought him from WWF to Hollywood. Like, she was there a long
time. He's the first guy to make. I know Hulk Hogan tried.
I totally agree with
but
you.
He never got there. Yeah.
I think Hulk Hogan was a for
I
his time.
I have no one to blame but myself.
You really don't.
Yeah,
for his time was the like you say wrestling, that's the first person you think of, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And now I'm not entirely sure that's true.
But when
anymore.
You say Hollywood it wasn't, but when you say Hollywood now, it's The Rock.
It's even wrestling, right? Like wrestling is such a weird thing now where, like, if you say that, I wonder if, like...
Unlike when wrestling used to be normal and...
When it was more commonplace, though, right? Like, 97 to 2001, like, that was... They're on the cover of, you know, TV Guide. And
yeah, I mean, they were...
Hosting SNL. Like, it was crazy what that company was doing. So, like, I don't know that, like,
when
you say...
That was when The Rock was around.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, who still holds the record for that. The amount of t-shirts that guy was producing is dumb. It's stupid. But like when you say wrestling now, I don't know. If you were to say to an 18-year-old, what do you know about, who do you know who's a wrestler?
I don't think there's any stars like that.
There aren't.
Because, I mean, I've
and he watched... has And he has distanced himself from that product, he being The Rock, from that wrestling product.
Sure.
Like, it's not even a thing
because,
anymore.
So anyway, his wife was the one, she has been his manager since then, and she's the one that negotiated all his movie deals and everything, so she's very much responsible for the business aspect, and I think he's really smart that, yeah, they got divorced, differences, whatever, and he wasn't like, okay, here, just let's split the money, whatever. He's like, how about you keep doing this? We're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And
if it ain't broke.
We got a very successful thing going on here. It's good for both of us. Like, let's keep doing this. And, you know, that's cool. They were able to
absolutely
split, but then also work together. And, you know, obviously they're still very close because they
have a child. They have a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, I think that his stardom is amazing that he's
it's unparalleled
where he's come from.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot have tried. Sure. I guess John Cena's.
I don't think a lot have tried. Like, I don't think that. I think
you don't think a lot have tried?
I don't.
Batista?
But he's still pretty. I
know.
Batista is not a leading man. I'm sorry.
Batista?
Yeah. I think he's a James Gunn. I think he's a better actor.
John
than
Cena?
The Rock.
James Gunn.
That's true. That's fair.
Peacemaker now. I mean, you haven't seen a lot of John Cena sequels, and now he's got his own series. Like, James Gunn
they
knows
did
how to use.
They did sequels of a John Cena movie.
No,
he's
I'm
just
talking
not
about
in
John Cena. Exactly. James Gunn. I mean, you got to give this guy credit. He knows how to take an actor, like a Batista, like a John Cena, and put them in a perfect role for them and utilize them to their fullest.
I think some of the things, like on that note, is that people kind of don't think about is you don't have to be the guy above the title, right? Like Batista's figured this out where he is really good in the things that he's in, and he is able to be like the fourth guy. Or the third guy.
But I think he wants to be. He turned down Suicide Squad to have his own Army of the Dead to be above the title.
Is that right?
Yeah. Peacemaker, I think, was supposed to be Batista.
Oh, I thought he was supposed to be Bane. Either way, it doesn't matter.
Well, either way, he turned down Peacemaker for Army of the Dead to be a leading man. Like, it was a career move.
I mean, and that's fine.
I think that puts his... quote up or whatever, you know what I mean? Like it's for
I guess
career.
Oh, you mean you can ask for more money once,
If you're a leading man you get different money, and then your next one it's like, well, yeah, I'm a leading man,
you get different control, you probably get a producer's credit.
I guess that's probably
you
true.
Get, you know,
but it's like no hard feelings. We'll be back for Guardians 3. It's not, I mean, James Gunn understood
done,
it
dunzo well he says he's done we'll see. So we get to Guardians
but
4,
yeah, right? I think it's really interesting to watch The Rock's career trajectory though, because you know he was in a lot of movies that weren't great, and he did the kid movie thing, and then he did
he tried to go that route. I think the The Rundown is great, by the way.
Rundown's amazing.
Yeah, and
The Rundown and Be Cool.
Yeah, I've never seen Be Cool.
I don't like Be Cool, but
he was great.
He was good in it.
That's what I like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As he acted, you were like, that was good.
Yeah. I think where he's been so smart is his ability to pivot. Like, because he tried the kid movie thing. He's like, oh, I'll do this.
I'll do the Arnold thing.
Yeah, and then it was like, yeah, that's not working. Okay, I'm instead of just like letting that be the end, and then now he's back to wrestling or he's doing crappy TV movies or whatever, he's just like, okay, I'll do another thing. I think also he's smart in that is that he definitely thinks long term, and he was okay with like, I will take a smaller role in a bigger picture and use that as leverage to level up.
To like, where I think Fast and Furious?
What's that?
You mean like Fast and Furious?
Yeah. Or wasn't he in one of the G.I. Joe movies?
He was in the second one.
Yeah, like
Roadblock.
Yeah, and so he didn't let his ego get in the way of like, I need to be the star of the movie. He saw the benefit of like, well, if this movie's a big hit and I have a decent sized part in it, then that raises my stock overall.
I think that's where we are now.
That's exactly what Batista and John Cena have done, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Batista's like, I'm in a Marvel movie, right? But he's one of the other guys, but he's there.
But he also got to work with Denis Villeneuve, right?
Right.
In Blade Runner.
And everybody
and he
now.
He did,
yeah.
Which Bond was he in? Spectre?
So he worked with
Sam Mendes?
Was it not Spectre? But was he in Spectre? That was the last one before the one that just came out. Was it Skyfall or Spectre?
I think it might have been Skyfall.
Skyfall. There's no Skyfall is, it is Spectre because that's the introduction of Blofeld, right?
Oh well, can't win them all.
But he's in a Sam Mendes Bond movie as the original henchman. That's who he is in that movie. He's like the like the first henchman in the Daniel Craig movies. One of the problems in the WWE for a long time.
We're still on wrestling.
One of the problems is that once Hulk Hogan or John Cena.
This is like one of those brownie pans that has like nine corner pieces.
No, this is the last one.
Okay.
They got to a point where like those guys were the top guys in the business at that time and nobody could beat them, right? Like, so they were just feeding people to keep them on top and the fans got tired of it, right? They started booing them because they're like, well, they're just going to win anyway. This is boring.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like The Rock has reached that point in Hollywood. Like, we've kind of had this thing with Vin Diesel, and that was on Vin Diesel, right? Let's not pretend that wasn't Vin Diesel trying to be bigger than who he was at that point.
Well, yeah, certainly The Rock wasn't starting
stuff. No, but I feel like we talked about this with Hobbs and Shaw, where it was like, it was so like down to the minute of jokes that no one guy would get like a leg up, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like I think Ryan Reynolds is more charismatic than The Rock most
it's
of the
different
time.
Different kind of charisma,
correct.
But yeah.
There's smart-ass charisma, and then there's like
badass action
big,
star.
Tough guy charisma.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like in this one,
The Rock can do both, but Ryan Reynolds can do the smart-ass version better.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He felt really toned down in this to me. Like, this did not feel like the Ryan Reynolds we have seen in the last 10 years. Deadpool's like 10 years old, right?
I don't know. I think his character is a little cooler because he's like supposed to be the world's second best art thief, but I still think he was the same.
I thought he was very Ryan Reynolds-y. Yeah. I thought this was the most Ryan Reynolds we've seen Ryan Reynolds be outside of a Deadpool movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was very Ryan Reynolds-y, but I just think he was trying to play it more cool. Like, there were moments in this where, I mean, he was definitely smarmy and smartass, but he also was like, yeah, I've stolen all this stuff. And like, he had this like, I guess confidence is a good way to
you
literal
know,
confidence.
As I'm talking about it, this felt more like the character from Smoke and Aces than it did Deadpool or.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that in Smoke and Aces, if you haven't seen it, what's wrong with you? Like, it's an amazing action flick. He does have like the smarminess with Ray Liotta, but he's also got like that badass action star. Like, there's it's an interesting line that he walks in that movie, and this feels kind of similar to that, but it just, for whatever reason, to me it felt like everyone was sleepwalking in this movie.
See,
it felt like nobody wanted to be there, and it just did not, like, everything was so toned down and muted. I didn't get that.
Yeah,
at all.
I didn't either.
It's so weird.
To me, it seemed like they were all having fun. I'm like, this is big dumb fun. That's
this reminded me of like Burt Reynolds movies.
Yeah.
In the 80s. Like, almost like, I know it doesn't have like the nonstop cameos of a Cannonball Run, but like, right, they felt like, it seemed, yeah, like they were having fun. Is this a great movie? No. But like, they seemed to be having fun. I think Gal Gadot was on set for about 3 days. but beyond that, I felt like the two of them were enjoying themselves.
I think the two of them together should be,
yeah,
perfect.
And I'm sure you're going to get more of these.
Oh, well, they're together for the Hobbs and Shaw stuff.
Well, and they said that this was the biggest single day launch of a Netflix movie.
Movie is the biggest.
Yeah.
How do they know? It's all data. That's, yeah, all Netflix is.
It's nothing
data.
But data. But I believe account, it. Like, you know? this is the biggest, I think, star power that they've had in one of their movies.
Yeah, that's probably true. Because I know Ryan Reynolds did that. What was that?
I mean,
Michael Bay movie.
No, I don't even want to talk about
under
that.
Under
Six, that was horrible,
or whatever the hell it's called.
But
Six,
no,
Underground.
Six Underground. But this
Sneaker
is
Pimps.
Three.
Sneaker Pimps? I know, I was thinking the same thing.
This is three huge stars, though.
Right.
I mean, The Rock is the number one star. Ryan Reynolds is pretty darn popular.
He's pretty damn close.
I would say he's top five.
And then
five.
Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, these are three huge stars. It's Netflix's highest budgeted film ever. And, I mean, a lot of people are going to watch it. When you've got this kind of star power and you can just flip on the TV.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you roll the dice on that?
And, I just think it was big, dumb fun. Like, I watched it. I didn't love it, but I definitely didn't hate it. I was like, this was an entertaining movie. I don't really want to ever watch it again, but I enjoyed it. You know what I,
yeah,
mean? Like, it entertained me, and that's all I'm looking for when I'm watching an action movie like this.
I'm usually right there with you.
Yeah.
Right? And that's usually how I am about most things. I'm like, hey, man, did I fall asleep when I watched it? No? That's a win, I guess. You know?
I will say, I watched this so I could review it on Friday, so I couldn't watch it until Friday.
Oh, sure.
And so I watched it on my laptop at work, which is the preferred method for reviewing films.
Sure.
And
I know, for Dune especially. That's,
yes,
how they ask you.
You watched it on your Apple Watch.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
But I will say, it kept holding my interest. I kept, yeah, like, you know, like a lot of times I try that and I'm just like, I'm not even watching this movie.
Yeah, right.
I gotta,
right,
rewatch this later. And this one, I was like, it totally held my interest.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get distracted, so that
no, that's fair.
Something.
I definitely wasn't distracted.
Yeah.
I never looked at my phone.
So I really liked the opening scene with the
it was good.
The chase through, mm-hmm, the scaffolding. I'm like, okay, like that's different.
Going,
we haven't
vertical
seen that before.
In a,
yeah,
very contained area.
Yeah, and the way he kept like taking out pieces of scaffolding, yeah, to fight them. And
so we should say Mark Antony gave Cleopatra three eggs. She was buried with them. Whenever they, I guess, exhumed the casket or whatever, you know, to find these artifacts, they found two, but like, so one disappeared.
She ovulated.
Yeah.
That's the way that works.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So one went to a museum, one went to a rich guy, and one is mysteriously gone. And so they're at this museum. Nathan Booth, the world's self-proclaimed best art thief, he's really the second best, is trying to steal the egg, and so a chase ensues. You've got FBI profiler who is in Rome to try to track this guy down. He's warning them that he's going to be there next, and that's where this chase ensues. The Rock is trying to get the egg that Nathan Booth, Ryan Reynolds' character, has stolen, and there's this just really good through the museum destroying things. I like how he's like, Ryan Reynolds is pushing priceless artifacts, and The Rock has to, like, you,
yeah,
know, kind of catch,
right,
them or dodge them or whatever. Because if you think about it, it's like, yeah, I'm trying to track down this egg, but also, like, if I'm letting other priceless things get destroyed, what's the point? You're just swapping them,
right,
out. You know what,
right,
I mean, so
right,
it's always fun when it's like, oh, gotta be careful there, but gotta,
there is the good, I like the line when they end up face, they finally end up face to face at the top of that scaffolding, and Ryan Reynolds kind of makes the joke about how many cows did you have to skin to get, yeah, that jacket, like, that's a nice jacket.
It's a statement piece.
Two, yeah, things. Number one, yeah, that jacket's a statement piece. There's a cow somewhere that says totally worth it. Number two, how do I know that you're a cop? Show me your,
yeah,
badge. And
he's like, no,
I don't have to show
you
a badge. I've got a gun. So the other thing I like, too, is that it's all right there when you think about it.
Yeah.
The twist of this movie is all right there.
Yeah.
And I like it when a movie's clever enough to literally show you and tell you.
Right.
And it's like, well, yeah, we never really do have any proof that he's a cop.
Right.
He literally shows up and he's like, I'm a cop, and you never see a proof of it.
And we,
yeah,
even get the other Interpol gal who's just like, I called the office and they don't even know who you are. And he was like, right, deep cover. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I looked for your papers. There's no papers. Yeah. He's like, uh-huh, weird. I don't know why that, yeah, would be like that.
So, spoilers, he's not a cop, but
no,
he's not an FBI profiler.
Yeah.
But he never shows any proof. He just shows up to everyone and says, I mean, he looks like The Rock.
Right,
he,
right,
seems, he's confident. He's in charge. And it's like,
he knows things.
Yeah.
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 It's pretty, yeah. He does. They,
but the
they
whole
do,
time, Nathan Booth's like, how do I know you're a cop? You know, and all this. And it's like, yeah, that's a, actually a very good point. Yeah,
you nailed it right on the head.
Yeah. Oh, and I like how it's like, this is kind of funny, is that so they're up on the scaffolding or whatever. They fought through all the stuff, and there's this big window, and it looks like Nathan Booth is about to escape, like, and bust through, jump through the window himself, and then The Rock tackles him through the window. I'm like, it was just a funny solution to it. It's
well,
like,
and I was like, well, that's a stained glass window. I'm like, that was
that
probably
was not
an
cheap.
Artifact.
That,
yeah,
I'm sure, exactly. I'm sure it is. But I just thought it was funny where he's like, oh no, he's about to jump through that window. I'm going to tackle him through it.
Right.
But there's a lot of those big action set pieces like that that are just bombastic and ridiculous. And
I think
why,
some of them were really good.
Yeah.
And I think the fight choreography was atrocious.
Oh, really?
Like the camera shots where it's just like, well, that doesn't even look like when The Rock's throwing a punch. It's like, this guy knows how to throw a punch. Just let him do it. Like the way the camera moved, it's like, well, that you can tell that was, it came nowhere near the guy.
To me, there was something about this to where, and maybe it was because I just wasn't invested in it. Like, you know, of course I didn't watch the trailers, but like I wasn't excited for this movie. I didn't care this movie was coming. You know, oh, the biggest Netflix movie with the, I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. And it's like, I wasn't invested enough to maybe really care that those things weren't perfect because I wasn't expecting this to be any type of a, you know, important film or, you know, I mean,
it's like last week I felt like I held Eternals to a higher standard because I expect more from those.
Sure.
I didn't, and again, that scene with Sabotage to me was so important for setting the tone. Cause mm-hmm. I like at that point I was just like, I don't know what we're doing. That first scene was like relatively entertaining. Like I'm not, but when I think they're going down one road and they pull that rug out from under me, I was like, thank God.
Right.
And it got me on board with this movie in a way that I don't think I would have been otherwise.
Interesting. It's hard to do. Like I said, we've seen so many movies and, you know, we're watching at least one a week and usually it's multiple. And to give you something like that in a movie that it seems like, okay, it's like a buddy cop movie. It's a heist movie. You know, there's all these elements to where this is just a mishmash of those type of elements. But what are you going to do to hook us? And yeah, you've got the star power, but still, like, we've seen a lot of movies with star power. We've seen Ocean's movies that are heist movies with lots of charisma and talent and everything. I think the camera work was good. The action was good. Like that opening scene, after they do the exposition, you know, The Rock gets out of the car and there's this tracking shot that follows him out of the car and into the museum. I'm like, it's a pretty slick looking movie. Actually.
Yeah. Do we know who this director is? Like, is he one of The Rock's guys?
We do.
Like Chris,
it's his ex-wife's new husband.
Touche.
Like Chris McQuarrie is like Tom Cruise's guy.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the Jungle Cruise guy though. So it's not because he's the guy that's done. Well,
is it the Jungle Cruise guy?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Because maybe he is. You may be right. No, I didn't think he was. Okay. But he is a Rock guy. You're right.
Okay.
He is a Rock guy. He has done Skyscraper.
Uh-huh.
Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart.
Those are both solid.
Yeah.
We're the Millers, a movie that came up last week.
No, what?
Yeah, because Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
That
just came up last
week. Yes, I'm sorry.
I thought you said came out.
I thought you said
week.
came out.
No. Yeah, came up. Last
I thought you,
week.
I thought you said it came out.
I was like, no, it didn't. Is there a remake already?
So we were just talking about Adam Warlock.
He's got a really solid.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking. Oh, Dodgeball.
Oh.
What?
Man, those first two were weird. Like, those first two were straight up like...
Well, wow. Well, he's got a cult classic under his belt there. I didn't realize he did Dodgeball.
Yeah. Is Dodgeball a cult classic?
I mean...
You can dodge a ball, you can dodge a wrench. I would argue the cult part of it. I think it's just people and...
I mean, that's like... I'm not saying like that was a box office juggernaut, but I think that's one of those beloved home video...
Yeah.
When I say cult classic, I mean like a home video classic. Like Anchorman, one of those kind of things. And there's stuff in between, but yeah, those are the big ones.
I think he's competent. He's a fine director, you know, like I think...
Has anyone seen this TV show? He directed 4 episodes of Ryan Hansen Solves Crimes on television. It's a YouTube.
I was like, God,
I've never heard of it.
YouTube Red show.
I think he's a fine director. I thought some of the CG wasn't, but I can attribute that to Netflix. Like Netflix movies just do have a look.
You're probably the only one that's ever said that though, because usually people talk about Netflix movies being the streaming generic content look.
That's what I mean. I think Netflix movie, like if you were to show.
Oh, I thought you said it looks slick. Like we were saying, it was slick looking.
No,
you're saying it's not.
I'm saying it's not.
Oh,
I think
you
there
think
are
it's
certain.
Flat.
Yes,
a lot of people say
yes,
streaming.
It's
is
very very flat. I think some of it worked. Like I think that scene on the scaffolding worked. I thought the scene like inside the jail worked for the most part until they get outside the jail. Then I was like, this is terrible. But yeah, I do think it looks, for whatever reason, and I don't know why.
Do you think this is psychological? Because this movie is a big $200 million big budget movie. If this was on the big screen, I don't think that if you said, hey, Joe, there's this new movie with The Rock and Gal Gadot and Ryan Reynolds, and you watch on the big screen, car chases, explosions, and fights, and this, all this, and you watch it on the big screen, I don't think you would ever go, that looks like a Netflix movie and it's flat. Like, I just think it's psychological.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
maybe.
I think it is. And I tried to see this movie at the theater because it's in theaters and it's just the show times didn't work for me. And so, because it was weird. It was showing at odd times and it wasn't showing all day. Mm. Like, I was off on Thursday because of Veterans Day.
It was only in a few theaters.
Yeah.
It was a small release. They do that. I think my guess is The Rock wants Oscar to submit for Oscar consideration for like special effects and stuff.
Yeah.
He's a producer. It's his $7 and all this stuff.
Right.
I think he wants that prestige of, you know, cause if he can sneak one of his things in there,
yeah.
I mean, if he can be up there, then it's an Oscar nominated film, you know,
cool,
then he gets that in his production. It's,
yeah.
He's so strategic with the business.
Yeah.
And I think it's smart. I'm not knocking him for it. I'm like, you know,
yeah, I was going to see it on when I was off work, but like the first showing was until like 2:30 in the afternoon or something. It was really odd that I was just like,
weird.
Why? And other movies were playing earlier in the day, so I don't know what that was about. Mm. But
I think this would work a bit well on the big screen.
I think it would too, yeah. Like, but I agree. I think that like people just approach streaming exclusive movies with a different mindset, and it really has to be next level to impress them in the same
way. I don't
way.
Think, what was that Tom Holland one that we watched? What was that, Cherry?
Yeah, that was just awful.
With the directors
it was,
of the biggest movie of all time.
What?
From the directors of the biggest movie of all time.
Oh, yeah, right.
But you know what I mean? Like, but
that didn't look flat to me. I remember that not looking. I mean, like, it was an awful movie, but I don't remember, like, visually it wasn't.
Very effects driven.
I guess that's
either.
True.
It was really only the war scene that, you know, which is like 5 minutes of the movie.
But that's the thing you have to consider, though, is so you have directors making these streaming movies. They're throwing all the money at them. They've got big pedigrees, big stars, big budgets. I mean, what's the difference other than where it's released? They're not saying, oh, this is a Netflix movie, go grab a Sony Handycam and make it. Like,
right.
Yeah,
I think the thing that people see, and I'm not trying to like say you're wrong with your thought. I'm just trying to figure it out because they're making them with the same ingredients. How could they really be that different other than you see that logo, you watch it on your TV and you just say, oh, that's a
I mean, The Irishman didn't look that way.
Yeah, exactly. That's why. Yeah. But then you're like, oh, well, it's Scorsese, so I think you don't even think that. But
maybe
there's got to be
and
something.
I saw that in a theater, so like,
yeah. You don't have that argument.
I don't.
All right.
But like, I saw the Sopranos movie in a theater, and it looked like a movie to
Kong
me.
Kong versus Godzilla didn't look flat.
Well, but those are different. They're like,
I also wonder if there is still the psychology to play, right? Because you know that wasn't intended to be a four streaming movie.
That's what I mean. Like, they just sold their movies to streaming. Boost the streaming, but that's not a stream. But that's what I mean is this movie is big. It's got the actors. It's got a director of a lot of theatrical action movies. It's like, I think he's probably enlisting the same camera people and crew. I bet
probably.
He uses the same people.
Yeah. And if Netflix is willing to pay the same amount that they would pay, that Universal would pay. That's fair.
Whatever, $250 million or whatever it is. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just think there's something interesting there. I mean, you feel how you feel, but it's weird to me that so many people go, oh, streaming looks flat. And it's like, but what's the difference between this movie and...
It is interesting to think, like, when I look at the Disney Plus, like, Marvel stuff, like, I never thought that looked flat. That's not true. There were parts of Winter Soldier I was like, it did not
like look. Falcon
and Winter, Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. I think that show kind of felt like a Civil War. Like they used the look, like the color palette. Maybe
it was
a little more muted.
Yeah, but then
you know, Civil War didn't feel like that. That was just I don't know. It's weird. There's so many different ingredients and things. But yeah, I thought the movie looked good. I thought the action was good. And again, it held my attention. I thought it was clever, more clever than I had any right to be. I did not expect.
I would be interested to know how much of the Ryan Reynolds stuff was on the page and how much of that they just let him punch up on the fly.
And apparently, he improvised the Vin Diesel joke.
Oh, did he?
Oh, did he really? Yeah. That was a good joke.
Yeah. Vin Diesel's auditions for Cats. It's real.
Yeah.
And The Rock let that stay in.
I guess
for some reason. I don't know.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
I like The Rock said there were, I think The Rock in an interview said there were like 3 Vin Diesel jokes, and that was the best. So we left that in.
maybe that's the thing with him.
Do you notice Vin Diesel started crap on the weekend of Red Notice's release?
Of course he did.
Come on, little brother.
Yeah. with a picture that he superimposed himself to look bigger than The Rock.
Yeah, because he's got Vin Diesel has a really weird like Twitter fan account that has like 10 million followers, but it's like an unofficial thing. But
is it him?
It's just him. No, but it's like there's this fan account that started and it like took off because I found it a few months back when Fast and Furious was gone, and I'm like, what is this? And it's this fan account full of these ridiculous Photoshops that look like just these Pinterest creations, whatever. Yeah. But like he then took over the account. So
he has
an account that's now verified. Maybe he doesn't run it, but like he's verified under it.
Yeah.
But if you go back, it's all this weird fan picture stuff that's photoshopped with like him and hearts and, you know, but it's
so
his
weird.
Like official verified account. So anyway, I'm just saying, I think the same people probably still run it for him. And like that Photoshop was very reminiscent of the old, like Vin Diesel with like the text around it,
yeah,
the inspirational
right.
quotes. And
all.
Go find his Twitter, Vin Diesel fans or whatever it is, the verified account.
Yeah.
Scroll back through the photos and keep going. And it's really interesting what you'll find.
I wonder if Ryan Reynolds is better at like, hey, Ryan, these are the lines of dialogue we need you to get. And then you can kind of do whatever you
and
need to do.
And then dress it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than being like,
and he was like, okay, as long as there's a scene where I get to drink aviation gin.
Correct. Yes. I thought the exact same thing.
Someone tweeted, and it's so true. He goes, interesting. So, Ryan Reynolds' character in Red Notice is a fan of Ryan Reynolds' gin company, Aviation Gin, and Dwayne Johnson's character is a fan of Dwayne Johnson's tequila company, Tiramisu, or whatever it is. It's like, huh.
They call it Tiramisu?
Well, I don't know. I can't remember his. I don't drink
it's a sweet dessert.
But Tiramisu or something. But
I did think the same.
It's like,
as soon as he picked up that bottle, I was like, smooth.
Yeah.
They both put their liquor companies in there, but it's like, how do they not? Like,
yeah.
Ryan Reynolds had a cricket phone, or whatever whatever phone that he's mint or whatever.
Cricket,
Mint Mobile.
He's playing Toon Bash or whatever that was called.
But you know, that's the other interesting thing though, is that Hollywood has become like, it's not enough to just be a celebrity or
totally.
An A-lister. Now you're a business person.
You have to have
yeah.
that second stream of income.
And man, they
or
have
third
or fourth.
Well,
yeah, right.
And with The Rock,
oh yeah. sure,
energy drinks and tequila.
He has
and
energy drinks.
Oh yeah,
he's
oh.
rapping
Zoa?
Now.
Man, that song is terrible.
What, the Tech N9ne song?
Sure.
I thought
is that
it was,
who it is.
He's on a verse of a Tech N9ne song. It was Woo! Better than I would have thought.
He rapped it at the premiere of Red Notice. Did you see that clip?
No,
it was
really?
Pretty cool. Someone shouted out a lyric, and he was like, "Yeah!" And then he just started doing it. I was like, "That's kind of cool."
I it was way better than it had any right to be.
You imagine. I'm just thinking of like Hulk Hogan being like, no, it's cool. I'm going to play bass.
I think it was
still better than Return of Bruno.
You know what? I think it was better than Idris Elba on that Hobbs and Shaw rap song.
Was there a Hobbs and Shaw rap song?
Yeah.
I barely remember that movie.
One where he raps about being the Black Superman.
Oh, God. I honestly don't remember that movie. Yeah. I remember that he was in it and he's like an enhanced person.
Yeah.
That's as far as I can get you.
So anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, so it turns out like they end up catching Ryan Reynolds at his swanky estate or wherever the hell it was, like off the, you know, they catch him, they get what they think is the egg back, or they get the egg back, and then they arrest him and go about their way.
But there's a swaparoo.
There's a switcheroo. Yeah, you see like a person in SWAT gear who switches the eggs at the last possible second. Rock goes back to take a look. Of course, it's still there. Go about their day. Rock is about to leave.
In hindsight, that's a weird scene.
Well, once you find out the twist, yeah, like why would he even go back?
Because what's he checking for? First of all, maybe he's checking to make sure it looks perfect.
Or making sure that she's out of the way.
You know what? He's making sure that it doesn't look out of place.
I could see that.
Because he's like, there was a swap. This needs to look exactly like how he put it in here. That makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm like, he knows what's going to take place.
Yeah.
Anyway, spoilers.
He knows the plan.
He's in on it.
Yeah,
But I liked the way, not knowing that as an audience member at first, I liked that he gets in the truck and he just has a weird inkling, or it looks like that way, and that she does the swap so quickly. And
oh no, the guy says the alarm, like they've got like a Tesla style screen on yeah. in the truck. He's like, hey, the back door is open. He's like, oh, all right. And he goes
yeah.
back there.
Well, it was like open and closed or whatever, but yeah. he's like, yeah, I better check on this. And it happens so quick, and then it's perfectly in place. And he's like, okay. I'm like, man, that was smooth of Gal Gadot. Like,
right.
She pulled
right.
that
right.
off,
right.
But
So he's getting ready to leave, and then the Interpol gal comes up, and she was like, hey, and they have this, you know, interaction, and basically she accuses him of switching out the egg. Like, she throws the fake egg on the ground. It shatters, and inside there's like a mark for the bishop, and that's this bishop character has been supplying information to the Rock to help him track down these thieves or whatever.
Yeah, so she's like, I don't know you. You show up, and then this thing
gets
stolen.
I ran your name, and we can't find any information on you.
So you're going to be sticking around where I can keep tabs on you while I look into this. So, of course, she
throws
puts
him
in jail.
The Russian gulag.
Yeah, and they do a song. Danny Trejo is there, and Ray Liotta.
Great.
I love Muppets Most Wanted.
It is an underrated Muppet movie.
Yep.
It grows on me. When I saw it in theaters, and Tom and I were at the same screening, I enjoyed it, but I was like, oh, man, that first one was so good.
It just didn't live up to the previous one, which was like the second best Muppet movie.
So then every time I watch Most Wanted, though, I love it more and more and more. It's so good. But anyway, so they're thrown in there, and it's very much it's Hobbs and Shaw. It's the same idea, right? Hobbs and Shaw, they get thrown together.
Thought,
they have to work together.
Well,
so,
that's the thing is I love, like, look, Kid of the 80s, right? Like, buddy cop rated R comedies.
48 Hours.
That's where I'm at.
God, that movie
Weapon
still holds up. Well,
hold on.
Hold up.
Yeah, we should like sample that one piece. Yeah. Just let that
but
run.
That movie works.
Oh, yeah.
And like, Nick Nolte is supposed to be a dick.
Supposed to be a dick.
I mean, that's kind of the whole point of the movie is that he's a racist dick and that
he's got to deal with Eddie Murphy.
And they still got to work together. Right. So, like, you know.
Tango and Cash. Like, I like Silver Streak. I know that one probably is kind of like one of the underliers with Billy Crystal.
Gene Wilder.
No.
Silver Streak is on the train. It's Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. You're thinking of Running Scared.
That's what I'm thinking.
With
yes.
Billy Crystal
and Gregory Hines.
Yes,
and Jimmy Smits.
Yes. But no, that's a good movie, even though they lean way too much on the Michael McDonald songs for the soundtrack.
What's that movie? Is it Money Talks? What's the...
There's the Chris Tucker, Charlie Sheen one. That's Money Talks.
What's the one with Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson?
Money Train.
Money Train.
White Men Can't Jump.
And White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah,
but Money Train is the other one. I got to tell you, though, Money Talks, also a good movie.
Money Talks is Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, that's Charlie Sheen, like, trying to figure it out.
Bulletproof?
Bulletproof's great.
Did you know that there's a Bulletproof 2? No.
Starring who?
Starring no one you've ever heard of. But they're supposed to be the same characters.
Weird
but
name.
25. They made it, like, recently. It's, like, 25 years later. It's,
Last Boy Scout?
Last Boy Scout is awesome.
Last
Shane Black, baby.
Last Boy Scout is great.
That's so good. But yeah, so like I love Buddy. They gotta be rated R though. Like that's kind of the like Rush
Hour. Is this rated R?
No.
Oh. No, this is PG-13.
Yeah. I didn't know if it mattered for like it's Netflix. So.
Yeah, but no, it is PG-13. There's one F-bomb. There's one that they allude to, but one where they actually
drop
say it.
Okay. Yeah. And like Rush Hour works at PG-13.
I was just about to
because
I was
like,
thinking
those
Rush
guys
Hour,
work.
Yeah.
But so like that's my jam. Like I love that stuff. And so maybe you're right. Maybe my expectations were a little too high because I was like, Ryan Reynolds and The Rock playing off each other. We liked them in Hobbs and Shaw. This should work. And for whatever reason. Okay. Yeah. So they get to the gulag. And of course, he is put in the cell with Ryan Reynolds. And now
they call him in to see the chief or whatever there. And then the chair spins around. It's Gal Gadot as the bishop. And she's like,
That's a good line where he's like, it's the bishop. He's like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
So the deal is that they're all hunted. Well, we find out they all are, but the thieves are trying to hunt down these eggs because there is a rich guy that is offering $300 million.
That's a lot of money.
To give them to his daughter, who he also named Cleopatra, and he wants to give them as a wedding gift. And so they're trying to track them down, or Ryan Reynolds is at least, and The Rock is supposedly trying to stop him, and the bishop also wants to get the money. So doesn't she offer at one point, she's like, tell me where they are, and I'll give you 10% or something?
And he was like, no, thank
you.
He's
like, no, you need me. So they know where two are. They've got the one. The other one is at this rich private collector's house.
Who was that? What was that guy's name from?
Chris Diamantopoulos.
Yeah, but who was he in?
I thought he was awful in this movie. Whatever he was doing.
It's terrible.
No.
In Silicon Valley. Remember, he was like the billionaire
that put his
like vodka bottle on the delete key.
Yeah.
Deleted all of like half of Pornhub's like porn off of the library completely. Yeah.
But I did not like what he was doing in this movie.
No, it was terrible.
As, you know, it was fine, but this weird accent thing was just not working.
Yeah, no, it's not working.
But anyway, so they need the third one though, and Ryan Reynolds through this backstory that he gives throughout the movie. Like, his dad was a famous thief.
He was like his dad was like a Swiss policeman.
Oh, okay.
The Rock's dad was the con man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So his dad was a policeman, and he left him this watch, and the watch had coordinates for where this third egg was, and later on we find that it actually unlocks the key to getting to the third egg.
Is that a thing? Like, what? When they get to that, like, the idea of, like, a Nazi bunker in the, like...
Well, the Nazis stole a lot of artwork.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's a real thing.
Sure.
There's actually a movie about that called Monuments Men.
Oh,
which was George Clooney and Bill Murray.
You're thinking of National Treasure.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
but that's based on a true story. But, yeah. Like, yeah, the Nazis stole a lot of artwork.
Sure, sure, sure.
And, you know, and a lot of time, and honestly, in today's world, there's a lot of people that aren't really happy about museums because most museums are in the Western world housing the artifacts of other countries. So they're like, you know, a lot of people now look back at a character like Indiana Jones and say, well, he was stealing.
Cultural appropriation.
He was stealing these countries' artifacts.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it's a difficult line to walk because also a lot of those countries at the time, like, there was no one there to preserve them. So if people like that, I mean, I know Indiana Jones isn't a real guy, just archaeologists in
people
general.
Like Dr. Jones.
Right.
The good Dr. Jones.
But if the Western world, if the white world hadn't been taking those things, there's a good chance they'd have been lost to time, but, like, maybe they should be returned at this point.
And they are starting to do that.
Are they?
They are.
They
yeah.
are, yeah.
And I also think you kind of see that somewhat in the way this movie ends, that, like,
right.
Oh,
that,
sure.
Like, they get what they want out of the egg, but the egg still kind of ends up where it should be.
Right.
Which I thought was a nice little subtle touch. Yeah.
So they have to work together, basically. He's like, well, I'm not telling you where this is. Like, I'm the only one that knows this. She's like, okay, well, you guys can just stay in this prison then. And then
she's like, I'll figure it out.
And the offer's going to go down half. You're going to stay here and deal with the consequences. And then I'm going to come back and ask you again. And
right. So they get out of in a pretty big sequence.
Good
they break.
Escape
yeah,
sequence.
It wasn't bad. We did see them earlier, like they were plugging up a wall, and then Ryan Reynolds just happens.
I thought that was really clever.
And that's the thing is, like,
Rock's
do like,
are you gonna help me here? And he's like, all right, and he takes this little rock,
one little
piece, but it's on purpose. You know,
yeah.
I thought the movie again. That's one of those more clever than I expected to at all. Where then when they went back to that wall to escape, I'm like, I know exactly what he's gonna do.
Yeah,
pulls the one piece out, and the entire thing falls. But they do say that Ryan Reynolds, that character, has escaped. Like, every single time he's captured.
And I did, like, there's so many little lines where when they're in the car escaping from the Nazis, or using the Nazi car to escape.
Yeah.
And he's just like, no, let's just get caught and we'll escape.
I'll escape.
I do it all the time. Yeah,
right,
like, it's,
right.
This isn't, we don't need to take these kind of risks. Although there's no way that car would have started.
No way.
Like, and that's going back to Eternals, too. Like, when you don't expect more of the movie, it's just like, well, of course. As soon as they show the car, I'm like, of course it's going to start.
Right.
There's no reason it should start.
All of those little other cars shouldn't have started either.
Even if mechanically it still was functional, which is highly unlikely.
Right.
The tires would have dry rotted.
Oh, yeah. It's funny that they don't, well... We see that all the time in these movies, right?
Yeah.
Like, even in Back to the Future, where they're just like, we have to, the tires on the DeLorean rotted away, so they have to put train tracks on.
Well, they say acknowledge it, right?
Yeah, yeah, like, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's like going to a museum and stealing a World War II jet, and it's fully fueled and ready to take off.
Yes.
And has guns on it or whatever. It's like, why would that be? No.
Man, I hate that movie.
I know.
It's so...
But
that's
this
so
movie
bonkers.
Establishes that they're like, of just like, yeah, that's not what we're here to do.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean?
They
like,
definitely
just like,
don't.
No, that's
we're not
no.
trying
and
to be a
I
super
mean.
Smart.
Some movies are just like, I don't want to use the bad term, but when people say content, it's like some movies, it's not that bad to just kick back and watch an entertaining movie where you don't have to think. That's why they say check your mind. You're not supposed to be thinking. And once you set that up and establish that you're not supposed to be thinking too hard.
Right.
And then this movie actually does pull off some clever things where you're like, you don't see him coming because you're not thinking.
But this movie establishes that it's in this kind of
comic booky.
Yeah. Goofy world where like the rules are only kind of sort of being applied. And like, that's what
exactly
what we're in for. Like it's, you know,
play by your rules you establish.
If that happens in a James Bond movie, you're like, wait,
yeah.
Like, cause those are a little bit more grounded.
Is
and
this
so,
a Roger Moore James Bond movie or what are we doing?
And that's why Fast and Furious was so weird for a while because it was a car racing movie.
Right.
And when they became superheroes, it was like, well, that's, dumb. Why is that?
But what a weird pivot.
But then when they embraced it, then we were like, no, go more superhero, because if you're going to be superheroes, just be superheroes.
Just own it.
And they did, and that's why they came back around to being better, because in the middle there it was like, what are we doing?
Good. It's not good.
And then The Rock comes on board and I think saves the franchise and then sets it up to be superhero movies. And then, yeah, and then now they're running with it. So anyway, but they get away, and yes, now they've got to go get the other egg.
They're going to infiltrate this party to get the second egg. And they have this plan, and it works for the most part. They get into the vault using, like, deepfake.
And I like this stuff. They're using deepfake for the facial totally recognition.
Fine. Never seen an iPad with a screen on both sides.
Neither have I. That's a new one for me.
But, well, I mean, I've got a phone with a screen on both sides. So, I mean, you know, it can happen.
I do like that when they break the glass with the fingerprint on it, he just happens to find the one shard that's got
But I like that stuff. So that's okay, the thing. Facial recognition, deep fakes, fingerprints on glasses. We're getting into that spy territory.
Right.
It's just fun and switching this and, you know, distracting the guy so you can go do this and break in. I don't know. I really like all that heist element. And I thought this whole sequence was really fun, aside from the Diamopolis.
Man, I don't know
accent.
I don't know what
he
was doing.
It was just weird. Because he talked to him. When they talked to him in person, you know, he sounded like, okay, kind of like, you know, smarmy bad guy.
Right.
And then when he gives this speech,
Where that accent.
I don't know, but I was like,
hey, can you take three, like, I don't know, Central American accents and just throw them all together and see what happens?
I wish when I was watching with Katie, he reminded me of someone, and now, of course, I can't remember who it was, but I'm like, what is he doing? But anyway, aside from that, I thought the sequence was really good. Gal Gadot shows up.
Yeah.
Much like Wonder Woman.
She wears a beautiful dress. Yeah. Man, that's interesting. I wonder if they'll ever cross them over. They probably will.
Which ones?
Wonder Woman and Black Adam.
Oh. Well, yeah, right, I guess, like, that's interesting. They can both exist in the same.
They're in the Greek, like, pantheon.
And I'm
right?
sure Deadpool will somehow.
They'll find
Ryan
a way
Reynolds
get,
will figure
he's
out.
He's the
how
Green
to
get, Lantern.
Well, we don't really talk about that.
Neither does he, so that's fine.
Well, he's also. Well, I guess he's Deadpool twice.
I guess that's true.
Two versions, two different universes.
Be interested to see how that works. So they, again, Gal Gadot, we find out that she actually struck a deal with the bad guy, and she paid him for the egg. She takes the egg,
but it's a double triple
cross. And they get captured. Our two heroes get captured. And this is, I liked this scene. I think this
scene
is,
I told you they'd be here.
Right.
And then,
so they've got them strung up. They,
good fights.
Know.
I mean, I thought it was pretty good.
It wasn't
fight
bad.
Sequence.
Yeah. I thought this one was better than the Gulag scene.
Gal Gadot's doing some good ass kicking.
Yeah. She should just stick, like, this is her lane. Like, I don't think she's the greatest. The, like, action movies are where she's
just telling her to stay in her lane.
No, that's not what I mean. Yeah.
See, this is her strong scene.
Yeah. This is where she thrives, I guess. I don't think she's the greatest actress in the world, right? But for whatever reason, she worked in Wonder Woman. Like, that was...
I think Wonder Woman's the best thing she's ever done.
Easily.
Yes.
Easily.
I mean,
Wonder Woman.
Like,
not
her
Wonder
acting,
Woman 84.
Yeah, her acting in Wonder Woman is good. Her dramatic performances
are good. The fish out of water
good.
And, like...
Yeah, I don't know. She's never been in anything as good as Wonder Woman.
No.
And, I mean, as Giselle, she was fine as a side character. But, I mean, Wonder Woman hit...
That. What was the one with John Hamm? What was that one? Were they, like, the spies next door or whatever?
Oh, I don't know. That definitely wasn't it. But I keep waiting for her to do something as good as that, because she clearly was so good in that. And I don't know. She hasn't recaptured it yet.
No.
But she's really good in the action stuff.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So they have Ryan Reynolds and The Rock, like, strung up, and they're saying, give me the information. He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. She's like, cool, I'm going to electrocute your friend. He was like, okay. I don't care. And so, of course, she hits him with the car battery in the chest, and he was just like, yeah, that sucks. Just keep going. She's like, I guess I'm going downstairs. And he was like, guess so. And she lights his balls
I did
on.
Like that dynamic of, I'm going to torture your friend. He's like, I don't care about this guy.
Yeah. And I guess finally it gets a little too much, and he says, fine, it's in a pyramid in Egypt. It's no big deal.
I thought he was going to tell the watch story from Pulp Fiction.
Well, they do kind of make that reference.
I know,
right?
Because when they're saying it, though, at first, I'm like, is he going to say that his dad smuggled this thing out of...
No, but they do, like, I know that they reference that.
Because clearly it's like there was some kind of, oh my, it just felt like it when he was, yeah.
Yeah. So during this, you know, now they try to get away, and I guess this is the other double cross where Gal Gadot kills or poisons the bad guy, mm-hmm. and he's just firing wildly into the air. And of like, this was the scene where I was like, oh god, like the Rock snaps the cuff off. And I wanted Ryan Reynolds to be like, could you have done that the entire time? Like, or what happened? He's like, a bullet hit it. And he was like, all right. And just accepts the fact that that's a thing that happened. And they get away. Right. And
but now, it also works for the audience because it's just dumb action movie logic. Right?
Yes.
Like how many times have you seen something like
seen
that?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, like bend a piece of metal
or a bullet hit
or
it.
A bullet. Yeah. Yeah right.
Like just, either thing is dumb and either thing is totally plausible in a movie like
but
this.
But I like it better this way though, because it is super stupid no matter what, when you break it with your strength, because that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes.
So to say a bullet hit it, that's, I think, a clever way. To,
it's yeah. more clever. Than
it looks
being
like a stupid thing, but then it's like, well, it hit it perfectly. And
right.
Yeah, it's more clever than I flexed and I snapped a pair of handcuffs.
Do you remember when The Rock flexed out of a cast and then
sure
fired
do.
A machine gun at a helicopter? Do you remember when he pulled the helicopter down with a chain?
Yep. Isn't it weird that we're just like, but like there's that scene in, is it Civil War or Captain America 2?
Yes. There are actual superhero movies.
No, no, right. That's
and
what
then
I'm
there
saying
are
like,
movies that just decided like that, they're going to be.
That's
super.
A guy who we know is like an enhanced super soldier.
That's what we're saying.
Who's pulling down a helicopter.
But that's what I mean. Is they decide they're like, well, we're going to be superhero movies
right.
too. And once they embraced it, it was so much more fun than.
Those were bad movies.
What? Which ones?
Those.
Yeah.
Up at like 5 is good. I enjoy 5 because they don't go full superhero. By the time we get to 6, they're bad.
But they started to come back once they embraced it, though, I think. I think when they got to the later ones, and I know that last one was not great, but I think when they got to, like, 8, it was like, okay, that's what we're doing. Like, it took a couple to figure out, like, oh, they're superhero movies now.
Yeah.
And 9 just ended up being so bad. That
and now they're going
matter.
To space, just like Jason.
They've been to space.
I didn't see the last one, so I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was,
no,
that
they
was,
ended up
that was
in
Matt
space.
Basler coming in a,
they
in
took
a clutch.
A car to space. It
yeah,
was okie bad.
Dokie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... This is where Ryan Reynolds tells The Rock, he's like, look, it's not in Egypt. Like he tells him the story about the watch, and then he got pissed at his dad because all he cared about was this stupid watch, smashes the watch, and inside of it are longitude and latitude coordinates for something, or for a bunker, for this bunker. So they're traipsing through the jungle.
But he put the watch back together?
Correct, yeah. Which it's I was good. Like, that's impressive, because that's good, not easy.
That's a good thing he did, right?
Right. So that he goes, they go, they're traipsing through the jungle, and of course they are not getting along at this point. We should also say that this entire time, Interpol is on their ass.
Yeah,
that's like, what Red Notice means.
That's correct. Red Notice is like the
they
highest
tell you
level
like
of...
a dictionary definition in yeah. the movie. Because yeah, it when you hear the title of the movie, like what is this?
It's a
Russian thing.
It's a bad title.
It's yeah. not a good title. It's really, like
you think Russian, right? When you
yeah.
see her Red Notice, it sounds like
the
Red
Rock
Dawn.
Is, that's
Red,
happened to him before, right? Like that. The rundown was supposed to be called Hell Dorado, which is a much
what? Better name.
Yeah. The original title for the rundown was Hell Dorado, which is a much better title than the rundown. So, yeah. So they're in this jungle and they're arguing. And, of course, I think they drop something. And
because The Rock has it in his contract. He's got to be in a jungle.
He's got
to. That's just.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
He can
yeah.
film 5 movies at once.
yeah,
so
that's right. Let's see. We've got Jungle Cruise. We've got Jumanji and Jumanji 2 and Red Notice. Can we just do this all right here, please?
He's always in a jungle.
Always in the jungle. Wait till he's in the new Predator movie.
Yeah.
That teaser poster did look kind of cool, if you haven't seen it.
Is that the Hulu one, Prey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the first time they come to Earth, so it's like Native Americans, I think.
Oh, cool.
Or, I don't, you can't say that, can you?
Yeah,
you can
that's
still
what,
say
that's
that
the
one's
one.
Okay? Okay.
Well, yeah, the... Yeah.
Well, I guess if it's a long time ago, they wouldn't be Native Americans
because
there's no in America.
I guess that's true.
So
yeah,
it's
indigenous
people.
Yeah. Either way, it's the first time they come to Earth. It looked pretty cool. So they drop something and it pings on like a piece of metal, right? So they scurry and they open it up, and of course there's the Nazi eagle, and they climb down into this thing and they find that there's another safe that just happens to need like the watch from Pulp Fiction. Like that's what this is. They put it into the little lock, unlocks it. There is the warehouse from Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. Like it's got all of this different stuff. I do love the line.
The Nazi version.
The
of
Nazi
warehouse.
Version of, yeah, that's right.
Oh, is it this far in the movie?
Yeah, this is where he says
oh, okay.
it. This is like they're walking through and he was like, oh, we're looking for this MacGuffin. Gotcha. I was like, nah, that was a good line. Like, yeah, that's definitely like, an ad-lib.
It's in the crate, Mark McGuffin.
Yeah, right.
Some people
right.
didn't like it where they're like, stop telling me that we're watching a movie. We know we're watching a movie. You know what I mean? Like, some people are actually, like, I kind of appreciate the meta stuff because we've seen it so much in movies. But then there's other people who are like, I just want to watch a movie without the actors telling the characters.
I mean,
telling
I think movies can lean on it too much. Yeah. Like, it's because it can be a
too
lazy
winky.
Joke. But,
yeah.
like, also, Ryan Reynolds is really good at just kind of throwing away a joke.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't done in a way that. You know,
yeah, and there's something endearing about Ryan Reynolds, right? Like, he's charismatic yeah. naturally, and so when he does this stuff, it's hard not to just yeah. Well, he's so good at it is him because he is. I mean, Ryan Reynolds plays Ryan Reynolds in every movie.
Yeah,
I mean, so. Now there was
yeah,
I mean,
there was
I feel
a time.
Like there, yeah, like once he kind of figured out that like I don't have to be this other thing to succeed. I'll yeah. just be me, and that will.
Where do
work.
You think that was?
Like, where do I think he made that shift?
Deadpool. Yeah.
Deadpool
is the one that
I think
really...
Deadpool is the one where he was just, you know, like when he got his second shot at it, yeah. not the first one. Obviously.
Oh yeah. Right. Right. Right.
But I think that where he was just like, no, we're swinging for the fences. This is what I do. This is, I'm good at this. I'm just going to, I'm going to, you're going to freebase Ryan Reynolds' personality yeah. in this movie. And if it doesn't work, then at least I'll know. And I think that's really hard to do when you're starting out.
It's interesting
you know?
Because I think of like Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, mm-hmm. which is a really good show. Like, he's very funny on it. And
I mean, Van Wilder.
Van Wilder and
where,
Waiting are like the two that I remember.
Which he's Ryan Reynolds in those. See? Yeah. But he didn't want to be typecast. That's when he started to do stuff like Buried and Safe
maybe.
House. And oh, yeah. I mean, that's definitely, that is a departure from that
just
stuff. But he was trying to do all sorts of different stuff because he didn't want to be just that. But
sure.
you look back and you're like, yeah, he was really good at that. Like, Van Wilder put him on the map.
Somebody just said he was Jeff Wildman who posts in the group all the time. He's like, I kind of miss those like early to mid 2000 rated R comedies that you would never be able to
yeah,
make today.
Just,
like, there's that scene in Van Wilder with the cannolis. It's just like a yeah. thing you'd never, there's no you way just, that doesn't get past like, well,
and
anybody.
Someone posted a poster, you know, 30th anniversary of Porky's. I mean, you just can't
oh,
ever make that.
No yeah. way.
No way.
No way.
So, I mean, it's
even
so,
American Pie. Even yeah. American Pie, you couldn't yeah. get away with
it. You just can't. It was a different time. And it's just weird to look back at all the stuff that used to be acceptable. And it's like, you do have to put it in context. I was trying to tell someone this the other day about a movie. It's like, you have to understand, these weren't movies that were like purposefully trying to be hurtful or anything.
Right.
It was a different time. You have to look at the context of comedy and what was acceptable and just the way the world was. And it doesn't always make it right, but it also doesn't make it like malicious. It's just things were different.
Yeah.
And so I always try to look at those things in context.
Yeah.
I'm always relieved that like I like Abbott and Costello movies. There are almost no black people in Abbott and Costello movies. And honestly,
oh, really?
I'm thankful for that because
oh.
What,
oh, sure.
what would the role of a black man in a 1940s Abbott and Costello movie have been?
A waiter.
It would not have been pretty.
No.
Like there's one scene, I think in Buck Privates, where they're getting on a train and all the Pullman people, they called them Pullman, I think it was Pullmans, but like that was the train people and the porters on the train that were like always black.
Right.
And like, I mean, he talks like you would think a black guy in a 1940s movie would talk, but like they don't really do anything offensive with him other than how he comports himself.
Sure.
But you know, it's like you look back on those old movies and when there aren't black people in them, you're like, good. Like, I'm not
thank
trying to
you, I guess.
Not trying to put a black guy out of work from 80 years ago, but I'm also glad that like I don't have to like cringe for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, you can't cancel.
Then it would be
Abbott
canceled.
And Costello
yeah.
and yeah. meet Frankenstein, right? Yeah, so they walk in and I do like this where like he lifts up a box and it just says you like, "Oh, it says like what is it? Cleopatra egg." And he was like, "Huh. Nazis and their labels. That's great." And they find the egg. And of course, this is where Gal Gadot shows up. And now Interpol shows up. And it's this big fight, like this big chase sequence where they get into the old timey Nazi Buick or BMW, which I think is like Ryan Reynolds is way into it. And of course, it immediately gets shot up. And he's like, "Oh, God." So they drive it out of there and they think they get like it's the whole big thing. Then they think they get away. And at the last possible second, you know, here's the reveal is that Gal Gadot and The Rock have been working together this entire time. Everything we've seen.
Well, that's after Ryan Reynolds goes back for The Rock. He gets the egg.
That is, oh,
he's about
right,
to escape,
right.
And The Rock's
not there.
He puts
the egg in the ground.
And he puts it down, and he tries to go rescue him. He dives into the water, and The Rock just walks out from the side. He's like, were you left this to come save me?
No.
No. I didn't. He's like, you did. You tried to save me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And then this is where she walks out, and this is the reveal, is that they've been working together the entire time.
They kiss
time.
And he's like, what?
Yeah. And this is where we get the F-bomb, your one obligatory F-bomb for a PG-13 movie.
So the bishop is two people.
Correct. And I do like that line. That's not a bad line where he's like, there's two bishops in chess.
Yeah.
I was like,
all
right, that's fine. So this is the part that I liked.
What's that?
Like their interactions together. This felt the most natural out of this entire movie. The three of them on this beach, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was just...
they've just been on vacation all this whole time together.
Yeah, right.
Drinking their tequila and their gin, having a good time.
Talking on their Mint Mobile cell phones.
Mint Mobile phones. Do you think $7 Productions uses Mint Mobile?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
And all the catering uses aviation gin.
Yes, correct. But for whatever reason, like this part was clicking for me. Like I was, they,
it was great. But they put Ryan Reynolds in this place. They're like, well, we're going to take this now. And
see,
you're going to... Yeah. But I like this too, where it's like not so fast. And
right.
So you flash forward to the wedding scene,
and they get the money, and they're both.
I love,
like,
the payoff in the wedding that, like, the daughter doesn't even
give
care.
A crap.
It was very funny. It's so truthful to parents, to where you put all this work into something.
Yeah.
He spends $300 million. They track down these eggs. He gives them to her on the wedding, and she's like, "Aw!" And then for 1 second,
Ed
Sheeran's here, and runs away from the $300 million priceless Cleopatra eggs.
Right.
But then Interpol swoops in.
And takes the eggs back, and they arrest the dad, and The Rock and Gal Gadot are like, all right, we're gonna peace out of here. And they get on a boat, and everything's going great, and they're enjoying their, you know, this was kind of, I got the feeling that this was it. This was their one big job. They got this massive payday. They're going to call it a day. And of course, and then here comes Ryan Reynolds up out of the.
You think they got him, but then he's like, well.
Right. This part is working where he's like this cheese tastes funny, and she's like, that's raw pork. He's like, blah, blah.
So he has all their assets frozen. He tells Interpol about what
the
they did
account,
and then
stuff.
So he froze all their assets, and you know,
and they, yeah, he's like, basically either you help me on this big job, it's a three thief job, there's three of us, let's do. There was a part where, like, I forgot to mention this, where Ryan Reynolds has like this buddy on a jet. And I was like, well, it's going to be Kevin Hart.
Oh, like
that's
they're always.
That's who it's going to be. Like, they're always
he's
together.
The three line,
yeah. And then, of course, it's not. And I was like, interesting. I did not think that, see that coming at all. But yeah, so he's like, it's a three-man job where there's three of us. And if you do this, like, does he say I'll release the funds, or like, we'll make enough money to make it?
Well, he's like, if you don't do this, Interpol's on their way.
Oh,
and
that's right.
If you
that's
help
right.
me, you can escape on this dinghy or whatever with me.
Stop playing with your dinghy.
So so you see Interpol shows up, and
they've already left.
Scooted
and now
for the next adventure.
All three of them are walking to the Louvre. Is that what that was?
Yeah. They're at the Louvre.
There we go. And that's how it ends. Yeah, I for whatever reason, like, the first three-fourths of this, like, just wasn't working for me. And then when we got to the end, I was like, it just felt, they felt more relaxed. Like, maybe because The Rock wasn't doing that, like, character. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't the FBI agent anymore. He was the thief, I guess. Yeah.
He conned you. He was so good.
He was so good.
You were just like,
was,
I don't like
was,
this.
He
whatever.
Was so
was
good
con.
At being a, yeah, the whole time. Yeah. Good job, Rock. And then we're obviously, they want to do a second one.
Yeah.
And
clearly.
I guess they will. I don't know.
I think so. I mean,
I
the way
so.
Netflix spends money and it's getting views,
and
what's
yeah,
the, what else is their goal?
If it's getting the views that they want, I don't know why they wouldn't.
They get
I
the
guess that's
stars
true.
In the world.
Yeah. No, it seems like there will be, but I still, like, they need to make this, they need to do the next one, a team up with Hudson Hawk.
Oh, my God.
That would be
if
great.
I, if
people
I thought,
would lose their
if I thought for a second that Bruce Willis could pull off Hudson Hawk again, I would be on board with
you. He might actually,
you.
Like, do something not for the paycheck.
No, they'll just deep fake him. They'll just have him.
Him and Danny Aiello. It'll
probably
we'll
be a
both,
better performance.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, yeah.
That would be
like,
great.
You can use my likeness. Just
yeah.
deepfake.
That would be fantastic. Oh, man, that movie.
Yeah.
He did that for a phone commercial, a Russian phone commercial.
He did Hudson Hawk for a Russian phone commercial?
He did John McClane, basically, for a Russian phone commercial, and he just let them deepfake his face.
No. Are you serious?
Yeah. He didn't even want to do the commercial. It's a Russian actor deep faked, you know, with Bruce Willis.
What?
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
That's the point his career's gotten to, yeah, where he's just, I gotta, like, tell you're going to pay me? Use my face.
You were at the Kevin Smith thing, right?
Yeah.
Hearing him, like, watching him talk about Cop Out.
Yeah.
Man, that is hard to listen to.
Yeah.
It's a shame, because on paper that should have been a really should've good
worked.
Movie.
Yeah.
Should have worked. Which, yeah, after sitting through that doc and then listening to him, a lot of things should have worked. Because he was told, they're like, yeah, this will be your first $100 million picture, and he heard it like three times in a row. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they never were. Golly.
Well, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett. And also, I was a guest on the In Session Film Podcast, where I talked about Eternals again. So if you want to hear that from, you know, on a different show and get into that more, and I wasn't alone on that one, so that was a little more fun to talk about
for you,
right?
Yeah. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online at facebook.com/real spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course don't forget to check out our Patreon. So that's it for this one. I guess next week we will be tackling Ghostbusters.
Oh yes,
hard to tackle ghosts,
but yet they
I'm
do
so
it
so excited.
Yeah,
yeah. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Alfred gets decapitated.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, because we already warned you. Better watch out, it's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.